Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Sacrament Meeting in this, the Heatheridge 6th Ward. We welcome you at this new time. It's a wonderful way to start the year, an extra couple of hours at home. I've heard some people say that 11 o'clock is the true time for Sacrament Meeting to start, so we'll go with it. It's a great way to start a year. I'm Bishop Misbach, and we'll be conducting today. Appreciate my counselors who are here. Brother Roberts is sitting with his family in the congregation. I'd also like to recognize the presence of Brother Mark Flickinger, who is seated on the stand from the High Council, and he is our newly assigned representative to our ward, so we're very pleased to have him with us today. Let me just cover a few announcements. A few schedule changes with our meetings beginning at 11. Our ward council will be on the second and fourth Sundays at 9 a.m. Our bishop's youth council will be on the third Sunday, just immediately following our meetings. And we have some events to look forward to. Our ward conference will be coming up in February on the 25th. And we have on the calendar a stake youth conference and girls camp. So you can calendar those items as you're planning your year ahead. Youth conference isn't until November, and girls camps June 20th through 23rd. I appreciate those who participated in tithing declaration. Got to see most of the ward who came and talked to me. Some of you declared electronically. I got some messages, emails, texts. I always love to see you face-to-face, but however you've made the declaration, it's still a declaration, so I appreciate that. I think that you're supposed to declare your tithing status before the end of the year, but my report isn't due for another week, so for a handful of you who haven't yet declared, feel free to do so. I think that's all I'll mention by way of business. So we will begin this meeting now by singing hymn number 66, Rejoice the Lord is King, following which the invocation will be offered by Brother Jeff Hill.
Our Father in heaven, we are thankful this morning that we could join together as a community of saints for this fast and testimony meeting. We are thankful for the opportunity we have to partake of the sacrament and to renew our confidence. We are thankful for the opportunity we have to bear our testimonies. At this season, we are grateful for the service of President Thomas Monson and pray that thy comfort and blessings will be with his family. We pray that thou would bless us today to have the Spirit. We pray that as we renew our covenants, we might feel thy healing Spirit and the power of the atonement in our lives. We pray that those who have a testimony will have the courage to share that testimony with us. And we pray at this time for our bishopric, for the work that they do. And we pray that thou bless the leadership of the church as they reorganize, that thy spirit and guiding hand will be with them. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hill. I'd like to turn a moment of time over to Brother Flickinger for an item of stake business.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be here with you today. The stake presidency has asked that I conduct the following business. Sister Shelley C. Johnston of the Heatheridge Seventh Ward has been released as stake young women camp director. And we propose that she be given a vote of thanks for her service. Those who wish to express their appreciation may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Would the following please stand if present? Sister Anne M. Morris of the Heatheridge First Ward has been called as Stake Young Women Camp Director, and we propose that she be sustained. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. And those opposed, if any, may also manifest it. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
By way of ward business, the following have been released from their callings, and we propose they be given a vote of thanks for their service. Sister Janet Sperry as a nursery worker and Sister Emily Knoxon as a nursery worker. Those who wish to express their appreciation may manifest it by the uplifted hand. The following has been called and proposed that he be sustained and asked that he stand as his name is called. Brother Bryant Safford to serve as a primary worker. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed may also manifest it. Thank you. Could Tex Wilcock join me here at the podium? Tex has reached the age of 16 and it is proposed that he be ordained to the office of priest in the Aaronic priesthood. All those who can sustain Tex in this ordination, please do indicate by the uplifted hand. Any opposed may also indicate. Thank you. Thanks, Tex. We will prepare now for the sacrament by singing hymn number 182, We'll Sing All Hail to Jesus' Name.
Amen. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this water to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit be with them. Amen.
I'm very happy to share a few remarks with you today and share with you a few words of my faith and testimony. And following my remarks, you're invited to do the same as you come forward to the pulpit. It's always helpful if you can share with us your name. It helps not only for those present, but for those who are listening to these services later as we give it to those who are homebound. Helps for them to hear you say your name before you share your testimony. President Thomas S. Monson, I'm sure you and I and millions of other people around the world have spent this past week thinking and contemplating about our dear prophet. And so that is what has occupied many of my thoughts as well. One of the first things that I thought of is my own personal recollections of our prophet and what his influence has done for me personally in my life. He has always been there. He's been a leader, a member of the 12, my entire life. It's just hard to even pause to think what that means to me. But I thought of several things that I just wanted to share that have caused me to reflect with gratitude about the restored gospel, about a modern-day living prophet who is the Lord's spokesperson on earth. And where would I be without that direction, without that grounding? One of my favorite quotes from President Monson that I share regularly, so you've probably heard me say it, and I know the youth, especially the young men, have heard me say it quite a few times. But I vividly remember sitting in a priesthood leadership meeting. We were in the Wilkinson Center Ballroom on campus, and there was just a gathering of, I can't remember exactly what it was. If it was area bishoprics or if it was more leaders, I can't remember. It was a long time ago. I was serving in a bishopric. But I remember sitting just kind of in the middle of the very large congregation there. And I can't remember anything of what President Monson said that day except for this, that he seemed to pause, and maybe I felt this, maybe others felt the same way I did, but I felt like he looked right at me. And I think he even pointed at me, because I just felt like he was talking to me. And he said, "Men, take care not to make women weep, for God counts their tears." And then after a pause, he went on with what he was talking about. But it pierced me, because I had a haunting and vivid recollection of times in my life where I may have caused a woman to shed tears. I thought mostly of my mother. But it did make me resolve to try not to have any more of those tears counted. I don't know that I've been entirely successful, but it is my goal and my ambition. So I've appreciated that because I felt like that was personal, felt like it just came straight to me. But like so many of the other great words of wisdom and prophecy and counsel that we received from President Monson, I hope that I've taken it personally, that it was intended just for me, because I do believe that that's the way it is intended. It's personal counsel for us. I've maybe also like you, I have a habit of including in each prayer that I give a prayer for the prophet. And I've had to catch myself this week praying for the prophet and realizing, oh, wait. And then realizing, I think it's still okay. I think it's still okay to pray for a prophet, regardless of where he is and his standing. But it's hard to say a prayer without remembering the prophet. One more thing that I have thought about this week, and that was after reading many articles and things on the news, it's great to hear about the influence of the prophet. One of the articles was interesting when his daughter was interviewed and spoke about one of President Monson's talents or gifts that he was well known for was his memory, that he could remember names and faces and places and things, and had a gift for that, a real talent for that. And she said it was a particular challenge that here he was at the later stages of his life, and that talent, that gift, was actually taken from him. And he lost his memory. And I thought, again, it was in a paradoxical way very comforting to me. It was comforting to me to know that even our prophet, who I can only imagine must have prayed and asked for his memory not to be taken from him. I can only imagine that his family and loved ones and other leaders of the church and the millions and millions of those who were praying for him also prayed that he would be well and that that would not be taken from him. And yet it was. To me, that was a comfort when I know that not every prayer that I pray will be answered according to the way I would like it to be answered. That is, in fact, part of a divine and wonderful plan. That we will, in fact, as part of this mortal probation, experience trial, struggle, and tragedy, and that every prayer will not be answered just the way we would have it answered. And that in spite of that, there is a great plan. There is a great restoration. Everything's going to be okay. In the end, all will be well. And knowing and visualizing that, that our dear prophet has everything restored to him, his memory, his dear sweet wife, and that all is well. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that comforting to know that all will be well? And that is because of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. It is by and through him, through his gospel, through his atoning sacrifice, that all will be well. I am so grateful for that knowledge, for that faith, that I have, and leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Kristen Anderson. For those of you who don't know me, and I would like to express my testimony and belief in the creation, and particularly as I've pondered the creation of this earth, I've come to a knowledge that it wasn't just by accident, and my faith has increased in knowing that this earth has purpose, and that it was by God's design, with the help of Jesus Christ and Adam, who we know from scriptural references was called Michael. And the significance of the creation to me just has become really powerful, and I have had my faith strengthened in becoming more familiar with it. And I wanted to share just two aspects. I think the creative periods are interesting, and their order, I think, is telling. So the creative process is explained, I think, in three areas that I'm aware of in our church: one in the Old Testament, one in the Pearl of Great Price, and then it is explained to us again, and we are enlightened in the temple. And it's interesting because there are some inconsistencies in the order in the very beginning, but the last two, the order doesn't change. And that's not a big deal. It's not my point. I could be misinterpreting how they quantify what came first. But I'm an animal lover, and it's interesting to me that next to man, out of everything that God could have had Christ and Michael create, he created animals. And I love animals, and I think they have a real significance, whether you're a pet owner or not. I'm not here to advocate becoming a pet owner. I really have respect for animals and the role that they play in our lives. And just wanted to share that with you. I think it's a little on my mind because we lost our two beloved pets within 3 weeks of each other, and they were truly gifts. They were gifts to our family, and I just want you to consider animals in your life, and maybe if they mean more to you than you realize. And their only commandment is to enjoy the measure of their creation. They're not commanded to endure to the end and to help man be happy. And so I wanted to share that part of my testimony. And then there's another interesting thing that struck me right after the creative process. So after Adam and Eve leave the garden, they hear the voice of God. They can't see him, but they hear his voice, and they're given certain commandments, one of which is to offer sacrifice and pray. This also happened to Nephi, where he was commanded to maintain scripture. And both of them had a real similar response. One, they did it. And when angels came and asked them why, this was their answer: I don't know. I know not, save the Lord commanded me. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Most of you know that I've had a struggle with depression for most of my life. And I'm not embarrassed by it, and if there's anyone I could ever help that needs to talk, I'm very open. But sometimes with, I think, mental health issues, it can kind of sometimes block your ability to deeply feel. At least that is in my case. And I have a powerful testimony, but at times of despair, I feel like sometimes I can't access all the feelings. And so these two instances, one in the Book of Mormon and one in the Pearl of Great Price, where these mentors and these wonderful prophets followed God's commandments, the I know not save the Lord God commanded me really has helped me. When I have questions or when I'm struggling, you know, it's just one foot after the other. And sometimes the best I can do is, I know not, save the Lord commanded me, and that is enough. And I can't tell you what a burden it's taken from me, just knowing that we aren't supposed to have all the answers here. You know, why would we need faith? Why would we need to come to earth? If we knew what was ahead of us, I don't think one of us would need, you know, reminders with the commandments. I think it's so glorious that it would be a no-brainer. But, you know, having to be able to fall back on, sometimes I don't know, but I'm going to do it because I was commanded, has really been a saving phrase for me. I hope I'm making sense. Anyway, I just wanted to close with my testimony of this gospel. We don't need to know all the aspects about it. There are questions. We are men, human beings who intuitively want answers. And with the speed of things nowadays, we can get answers fast most of the time. And sometimes the spiritual answers, you know, aren't like just going on Google and, you know, clicking search, and you have millions of things to pick from. And so if it's helpful, I'd encourage you, when you're struggling or have questions, just pause for a minute and say, okay, I don't know, but Nephi didn't know, Adam didn't know, and they did it anyway. And it's really helped me. And I love my Savior. I testify of his magnitude and his mercy and his love and his all-encompassing act that allows us to return to our Father in heaven. That is powerful. And it's not just for the members of the church. He did it for all mankind. And I leave you with this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Karen Mitchell. I guess I just was feeling like I want to testify about the worth of the soul. I think sometimes it's really easy to get caught up in comparing ourselves with others or with the world's view of how we should be. And I think that can be really debilitating and frustrating. And I guess it's just something that I've been working on and realizing more and more the power of recognizing our worth in God's eyes and recognizing who we were created to be, and that we're much more than just people on earth. We are children of God, and we are destined to become like him. And I love that. It always helps me to think about my little girl and how little she knows right now, and see when she gets frustrated when I tell her to do something, or frustrated when she wants something so bad, but I know it's bad for her. And I love that we have that perspective given to us as parents, being able to see, like, oh, this is how God feels about me. That he has so much prepared for us, and sometimes we can't see it, and sometimes we don't understand it. But I love that he gives us so many things to guide us in this earth, to help us along, even when we don't understand or we can't see. And I know that every time that I've made an effort to follow those things, that it blesses my life so much, and it just feels right, and everything becomes clear. And I just want to testify that we are children of God. I am a daughter of God. And that if we keep that perspective, that we'll have a lot of power in our lives. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jeff sensed that I was getting really wiggly and helped me along with one of these. Brothers and sisters, I just want to share a few of my loving thoughts about the prophet Thomas S. Monson. And I have been thinking this week about him and the impact that his leadership has had in the life, in my life, and the life of my family. And the first thing that comes to mind that Jeff didn't even know until this week, hadn't shared with them, is about over 20 years ago, I met President Monson. He was in the first presidency at the time, and we had a nice little chat for probably 5 minutes in Disneyland, of all places. I was on the carousel holding my toddler daughter on one of the horses, and I looked behind, and President Monson was sitting on the horse behind us. And he saw me looking at him and smiled, and I said, "Hi, President Monson." And then after the ride, I got her down, and I looked behind, and he was struggling to get his foot off of the horse. And just as I was about to go like this to help him, he got it off, and then we walked together over to Peter Pan's ride, and Sister Monson and the bodyguard were like running to get into the Peter Pan's ride. But President Monson just took his time and walked slowly with our little family and chatted with us and was just genuinely concerned and friendly with us. And I really felt like his, the way he lived his life in ministering to the one was just such a genuine part of him. And I felt like we were the recipients of that ministering that day. So that experience has endeared him to me, especially over the years. And I hope that as a result, I've listened to his counsel a little more than I would have otherwise. And in the new year, with the new emphasis in the visiting teaching program, which will allow us and give us a little more flexibility to truly minister to the sisters that we have been called to be Relief Society visiting teachers for, I just thought that President Monson's example can help us in our visiting teaching duties too, to kind of go beyond the normal parameters of the historical visiting teaching program and just love and reach out to all of the sisters around us, but especially those that we've been given the duty to look after and love. I know that this church is true. I know that Jesus Christ stands at the helm of it. I love his gospel and strive to live it in my life, and know that there are lots of ways that I could live it better, and I hope that 2018 is a banner year for all of us, and that we have the Spirit in our lives more than ever. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Heidi Waite, for those of you that don't know me. This week when I was planning for sharing time, I was really struck by how important it is to learn names and how important it is in showing that we care for people. We're talking about that in our sharing time today. And I thought back to my junior high days. I was really, really shy. My dad moved us a lot, and I was painfully shy. And friends didn't come easily for me. And I kind of figured out. I had a little inspiration. I was actually reading a New Era article just the other day that somebody else was talking about their inspiration for doing this. But I had to practice saying hi to people in the hallway at school. You know, sometimes my head would be down and I would, hi, hi, hi. And I've told my seventh graders that, how hard it was for me to come to seventh grade and eighth grade. But when I started learning people's names and saying, hi, so-and-so, suddenly people started to think of me more as a friend, and I started making more friends. And I just have always felt that it's important to learn names. Even, you know, I've got so many students at school, and sometimes I learn the names. I work really hard, and I can learn them while they're in my class, and then when they leave my class, it's harder for me to remember it when you've had 500 students during the year and more. But I still think it's important that we do learn the names. And there are so many scriptural examples where Heavenly Father, as he talks to his leaders and as he talks to the people in the scriptures, he uses their name. And so I thought about that with President Monson this week too, about how he always tried to learn the names of the people that he worked with and really show them that they care. And I know our ward's had a lot of transition and a lot of new people coming in and out, but I love that we have that LDS tools now too, because we can just, oh yeah, now what was their name? And I can pull that up really quick on my phone, because it is important. And I really feel strongly about that. And I'm so thankful for this gospel. And I'm thankful how it helps me to feel Heavenly Father's love as I read the scriptures and do the things that I'm supposed to do. And it is hard. I've struggled, you know, when Kristen was talking, I've struggled with anxiety and depression and different things over the years. And the only way that you get through it is one step at a time and doing what you're supposed to do, even when you don't feel like it, and being where you're supposed to be. And it helps too, just like I said, you know, trying to get out of sight of yourself and try to help others feel comfortable in the situations that they find themselves in. And I'm thankful for our bishopric and for their hard work, and that I always feel like they care about me when I come to, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm Heidi Beckstead, and I'm blessed to share a name with Sister Waite. There have been so many of my heroes and examples who have been bearing their testimonies today, and I just really feel the Spirit strongly, and I just felt like I needed to share mine as well. I'm so grateful for the life of President Monson. I love him so much, and I'm so grateful that the Lord has provided a prophet for us on this earth. And I just really, every year that goes by, I feel the need for that more and more, and I see the wisdom in that. I'm so grateful for that blessing in my life. I wanted to quickly share an experience that we had over Christmas break. We were in San Diego, and Chris and I were able to sneak away and go to the temple there. And we did a session, and we were in the celestial room, and you just felt that peace and love and that satisfaction that, you know, you had had the opportunity to spend time in the temple. but we got to see a little bit beyond that. In the celestial room, we walked up some stairs, and it was just a different, you know, they're all unique, but as we came down, one of the workers told us that we could go through the doors that were at the top of those stairs, and that we could see more. So we went up, and we got to see a beautiful atrium that they have in that temple, where it's actually open to the outside. You're inside still and look through the glass, and there's plants growing in there, and it's just beautiful. And we got to walk around and see the ceiling rooms in that temple, and have the opportunity to participate in ceiling ordinances. And so what we kind of felt was finished and done. Actually, there was a lot more, and I thought about how that is. Like our Heavenly Father, he can see so much more than we can see, and he has so much more planned for us. And when we're putting ourselves in the right place and serving him, we are often open to those experiences. We feel additional love from him and for other people. And in times when we're struggling, he can see what's in store. He has so much in store for us that we can't see. There's so much beyond. And so I just really felt the love of my Heavenly Father reminding me that he has a plan for each of us, and we don't need to be discouraged. And even when we're feeling happy, there's more joy than we can imagine that has been planned for us. And so I just want to bear my testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love him, and I'm grateful for his atoning sacrifice for me that makes it possible for me to return to our Heavenly Father. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Connie Broadbent, and I just had a quick thought about President Monson. I've always felt like it wasn't my experience with President Monson. I could never use as a good analogy in a talk, because Dan and I got to be hosts at the Timpanogos Temple open house, and we were assigned certain spots that we needed to stand to be greeters or whatever, and I got kind of bored because things hadn't started yet, and so I walked over and started talking to somebody else, and I think it was President Hinckley and President Monson. No, it was President Monson that came right up to us. Somebody said, "Oh, I think the prophet and his counselors are here." And there was President Monson, and he shook my hand, and he shook the hand of the other guy, and I thought, well, I can never say, stay in your place and you'll be blessed, because I wasn't where I was assigned, and I still got blessed. However, it just occurred to me, listening to the talks, that I was where I should be, and that was in the temple. I wasn't perfect, meaning I didn't stay in my spot, like they had asked briefly, but I was in the temple. I was in the right place. And it occurred to me that sometimes we feel like we have to be perfect to get the blessings, and we don't. One of the themes I feel like in the sacrament meeting is just showing up and being at the right place, even with all our imperfections, even when our life isn't going the way we want it to, whether through our own decisions or life circumstances. And I know there's a lot of ups and downs in life, and I'm grateful for the ups. And I try in retrospect to be grateful for the downs too. But I know the Lord loves us, and he will meet us where we are. And we just need to do as best we can. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name's Tanner Smith. I just wanted to quickly share my thoughts and testimony on Thomas S. Monson, in just the way he was so charitable to the people that he served and everyone that he knew. In my patriarchal blessing, it just mentions to always try to strive to follow the example of Thomas S. Monson and to emulate how he treats other people. And so I've always paid close attention to the way he has treated those around him. When he was just a bishop at the age of 22, he had a ward of almost 1,000 people, and in that there was over 80 widows that he attended to. I just read about his life and how he would visit those widows often, and he would give them chickens and poultry that he had raised himself. Even after a bishop of 5 years, he would attend their funerals and speak at their funerals. And when I think of a man of God, I think of Thomas Monson because of the way that he amplified one of the greatest attributes of Jesus Christ, and that being of charity. And I think charity being the strong core of the gospel, to be a prophet of God, that him holding that, was a sure testimony to me that he was a prophet of God, the way he treated people and lived the gospel that way. So I just wanted to bear my testimony of that, and I know that he was a true prophet of God, and that prophets are real, and that they are disciples of God. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'm grateful to all who have spoken and shared their testimony with us today. We will close this meeting now by singing hymn number 240, Know This, That Every Soul Is Free, following which the benediction will be offered by Sister Cindy Clark.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee at the closing of this fast and testimony with love in our hearts. We're grateful for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, for his great atoning sacrifice and his love for us and the example he gave us. We're thankful for our prophet, President Monson, and for the life and service that he gave and for the example he was for us of charity and love. Help us to remember him always and to try to be like him. We're thankful for the leaders of the church, and we ask that thy spirits and guidance will be with them and help them to feel thy love and help them to feel strength at this time and give them the blessings that they need. Please bless our ward, Heavenly Father, and anyone who is struggling or are in need of thy help. Please help us to open up and be answers to their prayers. Help us not to be afraid of reaching out to others. Help us to be understanding of others' needs. We're thankful for our bishop and his concern and love for the members of our ward. We're thankful for this Sabbath day and the chance we have to worship thee. We're thankful for the beautiful world we live in and for the gospel and the joy that it brings to our life. And we say these things humbly in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.